Tomorrow on the show, the Tuttles, okay? Huh. The dad and the big fat boy that looks like Jack Osborne.
Is it Paul Jr. and Mike, right? Yeah, I think those are the three guys.
Isn't Mike the Jack Osborne boy?
Mike is the Jack Osborne with the long hair, the kind of outsider, the guy that really doesn't care that
Excuse me, Mike. That would be Thursday. Forget that I just said that.
Okay, so Thursday, the guys from Orange County Choppers are going to be on?
But I'm sure the cats have somebody super...
Well, isn't the name of their business Orange County Choppers?
Yanni? Yeah.
Tomorrow is Thursday.
No, tomorrow's Wednesday.
Tomorrow's Wednesday, John.
He's working ahead.
Tomorrow is Wednesday.
Ha ha. Did you really?
Hold on a second.
He works a day ahead.
Hold on. Wait, really? We need to spotlight this for a second.
What are you doing?
There's one thing that, like, if we're in here flying along at the speed of sound and we miss maybe the day, but you have time back there to really correct us, and then you get on. And John seriously got on our headphones and went,
yeah.
Tomorrow is Thursday, guys.
Yeah. No,
it is Thursday, guys.
All right, well, forget I said that, and I'm sure.
Just kill me now.
Someone on our crack staff doing crack will tell us who we've got for tomorrow's
we're
show.
Set.
Okay.
Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Next item.
Yes.
Radio.
What would life be without it?
Okay, we're going to get into this real quickly, this book, The Songs You Want to Hear. Let me give you a little background just about the state of radio currently here in D.C., our nation's capital, our home city.
Please.
There was a station that played classical music for a long time. Uh-huh. They changed their format yesterday to one of these, we play whatever we want, when really they just play the same 300 records just in a different order.
Right.
And it's everything that is wrong with radio. I listened to the station last night, listened to it today. Mm-hmm. There's no personality. There's no excitement. They've got the guy, Peterman from Seinfeld, the guy, John O'Hurley.
Right.
He's the guy that does the voiceovers, you know, mm-hmm. that says, you're listening to George and we play what we want to play.
So they paid a fortune to get his voice.
Right. And it is everything that's wrong with radio because it's thrown out there as it is in many markets across America as the station that just breaks all the rules when in reality it's even more tightly formatted
and well-researched
than its predecessor. Now, there's a guy named Mark Fisher who used to write the radio column for the Washington Post, and even though Mike and I have a great bit of hatred for these pricks, this is one guy who really, during the time he wrote the column, didn't stab us in the back.
No, he is one of the guys that actually gave us a fair shake.
And I don't want to say that I became friends with him. I would say he became an acquaintance of mine.
I believe the current guy would also be giving us a fair shake once in a
while. Paul Fari is also a
Paul's been a pretty straight shooter.
Mm-hmm. And even Frank Ahearns ended up being a friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So this guy, Mark Fisher, around the time that he stopped writing the radio column, called me up one day and said, I'm writing a book about everything that's wrong with radio and everything that used to be right with radio. Mm-hmm. Can we get together and, like, have lunch for a couple of days, and all you do is you just talk, and I'll listen. Mm-hmm. So that guy was, like, my radio psychologist, and I just threw out, he wanted stories about radio stations I had worked at, what I thought was wrong with radio, blah, blah, blah. He's written a book about how over-researched radio is.
Good.
He's going to be coming on the show in a couple of days. You can get his book on Amazon.
Excellent.
Has audience research sucked all the life out of commercial radio?
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to read you the part about me is rather boring. But there's some very interesting stuff in this advanced copy that I think you're going to love hearing. And I know everybody in this room knows about these techniques, but I bet everybody listening in their cars doesn't know.
Okay.
Right? Okay, so here is what, and we'll have Mark on the show in a couple of days to talk about this book. He writes specifically, I'm just going to read you a little bit of the excerpt from the book here. A weekday evening in suburbia, a Holiday Inn at happy hour. In the lobby of this hotel in Alexandria, Virginia, flight crews checked in for the night while five people clustered around a TV set watching the president. Blah, 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 blah. At the end of the corridor, behind a sign that said music survey, 54 people took seats at rows of tables stocked with hard candies, Cokes, brownies, and palm-sized black electronic gadgets called perception analyzers. Mm-hmm. There were no DJs in the room. No station's music director was here, but on this night, these 54 people, recruited by telemarketers and selected because they were in age from 29 till 54, these 54 people would choose the playlist for Washington, D.C. oldie station, WBIG FM.
How's that working out?
Yeah, they've changed format since this book was written. Yeah. Each person in the room got $65 for 2.5 hours.
Sweet.
They spent those hours listening to 7-second snippets from 700 of the most popular songs of all time. So, picture
seven
that.
7-second snippets.
You're in a room, and they're asking you what you think of a song, and maybe, 7 seconds. Let's roll 7 seconds. To the girl, the Texan, you gotta understand that baby, I'm your man. Hey. Now, right on that, they ask you, do you like that or don't you like that?
Well, I'd like to hear more.
Then, we got to play the next one. Here's 7 seconds of the next one.
What's going on?
I like that one.
Love it. Yeah.
Can I have a brownie?
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Now, this might seem like a fun game if you're in your car. You go, I like that, I like that.
Right.
But if you're in a room being a laboratory rat and you are hearing these snippets of songs after maybe the first 3 or 4, you got no concentration for what's going on. You're
right.
Just turning the knob.
It's so funny how many people really do today think that they will listen to a radio station. You're thinking that the guy that's responsible is the disc jockey. Well, in the day that was the way it was, but even to a certain extent it wasn't. I mean, for a long time.
Right. Let me read you this bar here. Executives from WBIG, that's the radio station, sat behind two-way mirrors, eating club sandwiches, and staring at a giant screen that tracked every twist of the dials of the 54 people listening to the 7 seconds of over 700 songs.
Now, this is all being done with a computer, so they really don't have to write anything down. They're just watching it, what it's going to spit out. I mean, it's taken the human element.
Completely.
They're pretending they have the human element, but they really don't. Right.
Okay, so we move along. Here we go. The science of choosing music for radio comes down to this. 5 colored lines rising and falling on a computer monitor. Just watch, says Steve Allen, the program director.
Steve Allen.
You'll see the S that rises to the top is the same as ever. The test starts out with a few questions to make sure the station has recruited the right people. There are a few seconds of rap music, and the lines plummet to the bottom of the screen. Then Rod Stewart plays, and the lines shoot back up again.
Wow.
A snippet of hard rock plays, and the lines go down. They play Love Me Do by the Beatles. The lines go up.
So they're selecting people that that fit their format.
Now, Mark,
is what they're doing.
Mark does a great job of writing exactly how this happens. The songs keep on coming. ABBA, Way Down. Bee Gees, Decent Score. Harry Chapin, Dive. America, A Winner.
Yes.
The Fifth Dimension, Stone Sold Picnic. That song never tests well, says the program director. That's too bad. I love it. Mark Fisher says, well, if you love it, why don't you play it? He says, it doesn't test.
Right.
We don't play it.
Right.
The easiest part of the night comes every time a Beatles song streams through the speakers. Strawberry Fields, Back in the USSR, any Beatles number does the trick, which is why WBIG plays 3 Beatles songs every hour.
You want to know why they went out of business.
Keeping it fresh.
Now, hold on a second. Let me see.
You really want to know why they crapped out.
To make matters even more difficult, something new was happening this night that surprised the experts from WBIG.
Whoa.
Every time the computer served up a Motown song, every time, whether it was the Supremes, Marvin Gaye, or the Shy Lights, the lines on the screen died.
Oh.
How could this be?
Yeah.
Motown was the heart of Oldies 100.
Yeah.
Every bit as essential as the Beatles or the Beach Boys. The appeal of the Supremes is no more dated than the new Dreamgirls movie.
Right.
Maybe we ought to rethink Motown Mondays, said the program director.
Yeah.
They're really shooting down every one of these Motown songs.
I'm shocked. Well, the brownies are being digested.
Finally, the ordeal was over. And I'm flipping through a lot of pages here. Finally, the ordeal was over.
Okay.
Subject are free to leave. 12 people out of 54 accepted the invitation to stay on and become a real focus group, discussing what had happened that evening.
And, of course, the people that agree to stay on that don't have lives are
right.
The people you really want picking the music, the people that want to get the hell out of there and take their brownie and go home.
Now, listen to what these people said and tell me if this is not your complaint with radio. The 12 people that stayed afterwards said They want songs they can sing along with. They want their favorite songs. Stations play the same songs over and over, and they're sick of Motown. Finally, the program director ventured to the front and announced what nearly everyone had figured out. The station conducting the survey was Oldies 100. Instantly, the people lit into the program director. Why don't you play Led Zeppelin? Why don't you play the songs we want to hear? Give us something different. Steve Allen, program director. Can I really do what you people are saying? All that music on one station? Yes, came people shouting back. Do it. Why not? But you expect me to play Zeppelin, the program director said? Would you come to my station for that? They continued, back and forth, back and forth. The only thing Steve Allen could come away with, quote, so, Motown Monday has got to go, huh? Absolutely, the group confirmed.
Wow.
And then it goes on to, and then he's...
Well, that's the way they do it.
He's very,
just
very clever. Not long after
they've
this...
They've done that for, 30 years, 40 years they've been doing it.
Not long after this music test, the owners of WBIG decided that the oldies had had their day. They were going to change their format to classic hits. And I will paraphrase the rest of this article. Guess how they decided about what songs they were going to play on their new format?
How?
By using the exact same methodology to bring 54 different people in a room, except this time they listened to Steve Miller, The Joker, The Kinks, Lola, Queens, We Will Rock You, Styx, Lady, and lots of Eagles, Fleetwood Mac, and Rolling Stones.
Because you really don't get a chance to hear that very often.
Hardly ever.
Right.
You know, what everybody, and the thing is, what everybody clamors for, and they say it all the time, is play the songs that we don't get a chance to hear. Mm-hmm. And you never, how many, seriously, and you know this better than I, how many great songs, how many truly great songs literally don't see the light of day on radio anymore.
I can't tell you.
I mean,
how
even
many
on
times.
All these stations, you don't hear them.
A lot of them.
You know,
a lot of those great songs are now on iPods.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But listen, this is the whole thing. There's no reason a radio can survive right next to the iPod.
Sure it can.
Radio can survive right next to MP3. Radio can survive right next to video on demand. Everything on your telephone. It's just radio has got to get its head out of its butt.
Amen.
With the beads and
the satellite music stations are researched up the wazoo too, and that's why they are stale and they are stagnant as well.
Now I was talking to a guy over the weekend who used to work in Los Angeles and now works at BBC Two. The guy, it's like Top 40 Radio in London. And he told me that about a year ago, somebody went to BBC Two and did this whole Jack FM thing where they said, you know, they gave it whatever British name they had, but it was 500 songs. And they said, we play whatever we want. And the ratings went right down the toilet.
Wow.
They brought in the next program director who actually said, I'm not going to listen to any research.
Wow.
This was in England.
Right.
We're not going to get people together and give them boiled meat and have them eat bad food and listen to hooks of songs.
Right.
We're just going to go with what we like. BBC Two is now the number one rated radio station in the UK.
Yeah.
This is a point that has been.
Let the musicologists, the guys, seriously, that have spent their lives. There are people all over this business who have lived with music and lived with music selections their entire life, and they could put together things that would. And you know what? They don't even throw into what I didn't hear in that article or in that book. They didn't say anything about the way that the music is incorporated, too, the way the music's mixed. That's done by computers.
You know, and
the music is selected by computers, it is mixed by computers, and it is ridiculous.
Part of what I was saying to Mark Fisher, and it's alluded to in this book, was that back in the day, I know I sound like an old fart, but back in the day, really, when I worked at the Top 40 stations, you would play Kenny Rogers, and then you would play Quiet Riot. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you would play Gloria Gaynor.
Right.
And nobody drove off the road. Nobody turned off the radio.
No, it was so refreshing.
Nobody went
the variety of it.
You didn't even think anything about it. And you couldn't, certainly you couldn't do a dead seg, meaning no talk in between, which is what has killed radio now, because you had to have somebody to be the bridge between Kenny Rogers and Quiet Riot.
A host.
And in this case, it was the DJ.
When did radio become so compartmentalized? When did really the specialty stations become so specialized?
Like about 1990.
It was about 1990.
That's when radio really became over-researched.
Right.
Now, you get to the point now with like the station that they put on here in D.C. they seriously will be happy if the station gets a two-share of whatever the demographic is that they're looking
for. Their niche. When a two-share is
2% of the people.
2% of the people that are listening.
Meaning 98% of the people who are listening to the radio do not listen to that station. Yet if they get 2%,
they're happy.
They think it's a big winner.
Because it's their 2% and they're programming right to them. And you know, and the great top 40 stations are gone. You don't hear that anymore.
Right.
And you could. You know what's interesting is musically, really, and I do believe this. I talk about, you know, the pendulum starting to swing back. I really do believe musically that there are all sorts of new sounds and new artists that are coming out nowadays where you really could put a station on. Almost. You could put a station on right now. Now, you probably could. You could throw a legitimate top 40 station with a mix of a lot of different stuff, and it could really, really work.
Of course you could.
Because you got your, you know, you got people like me. My kids are listening to something. I'm listening to something a little bit different. But there are lots. There are so many artists that are coming out. I'm really not worried about the music business as I am the radio business.
Right.
I think the music is still generating some interesting new sounds and new stuff.
Right.
And, you know, but you don't hear it. You have to go. You have to go to your niche station
so
to hear
right.
whatever you want.
And the reason for all of that is this goddamn research that it used to be a guy would come into a radio station and go, "Here's a pretty good song." You'd listen to it, you go, "Hey, that's good. We'll play it."
Right.
If you played a song that sucked, your ratings didn't die.
Exactly.
I mean, why would it's frustrating as hell.
We'll
have Mark on the air later this week to talk about this book
good.
And more of the fascinating underbelly of radio
good.
That he found out about
right.
that. I'm sure he can go into much greater detail than you or I can with our behind-the-scenes story. Oh, hold on a second. Program director on the line from area code 920. Where is that?
Check.
That's Green Bay, Donnie.
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Green Bay. Hello, you're on the air.
Listening on the lovely stream.
Right. What's happening?
Hey, those program directors, you know, they'd probably have a lot better product if instead of doing all that research, they would just consult with Jerry Seinfeld and treat their audience like a child.
Well, he makes a lot of sense, my friend.
Jerry Seinfeld. Wouldn't we all do better if we took the lessons of Jerry Seinfeld?
Now, are you really a program director? That lame attempt at humor tells me you might be.
You've got to be. If
you're... No. I told Joe I had something to say about the program directors.
Oh,
okay. Very well.
Bye-bye. I thought we actually had one of you.
But at least we were able to hear that wonderful Green Bay accent. Where he had the flat.
Yeah, sure. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, you know the real problem with all these radio programmers and all these researchers is it's the same thing that's wrong with the music business and the movie business. They want to do business like it was 40 years ago. They don't want to bring it into today that people's taste in entertainment are just different. They want to do with what worked 40 and 50 years ago.
You know, here's the thing, though. I disagree with you because if they did what people did 40 and 50 years ago, you would be hearing all of these varieties of music. I do agree with Mike. I think that music right now, current music right now, is maybe as much variety as it did 25 years ago.
The problem is, it didn't two years ago. It didn't have the variety
we
have now.
If you like the All American Rejects, and if you like Christina Aguilera, and if you like Metallica, and if you like Kenny Chesney, you got to go to four, maybe five different radio stations to hear one song by those artists that you like.
So you think right. the time is right to bring back Top 40?
I think right now, the way it is today, Top 40 could work very, very easily. Because really, everybody, now you tell me, I think it sounds to me like people are really making an effort to have hit records. Right. I'm hearing better stuff in the clubs than I've heard in a long time.
They are, but the problem is radio, because... Like whoever was talking, Buzz or somebody, about iPods.
Mm-hmm.
Radio people are so afraid of iPods.
Terrified.
So afraid of iPods when you would think. People like iPods because it's the songs that they like, just like stupid radio stations. All the songs. Why do you think you have shuffles? Because, right. like I say, it's the same songs, just in a different order.
Right.
People want
people
so
get
much.
Burned out on their iPods. I got news for you. People get burned out rapidly on their iPods.
That's why you have iPod Shuffle,
right? Mm-hmm.
So that you get fooled and you hear a song that you think, oh, I haven't heard that in a while.
But unless you're putting a gazillion songs, and not everybody has the time to do that, people don't do that.
And what you got to do is do the gazillion songs.
Yes.
And don't be afraid that someone who's going to hear the song that they don't know is going to go, oh, this stinks, I'm not going to listen. Think about the person that's going to go, my God,
thank you.
Finally, there's something on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that incidentally goes into the genre of talk radio as well. Talk radio is as dead as Yvonne DiCarlo as well.
Research
I mean,
also.
Seriously, because here's what the research is saying. hot talk, man talk, shock talk. Whew, you got to back off that. Let me see. Female talk? Well, they've tried that with Whoopi Goldberg.
Right.
That didn't work, so you can't do that. Well, you know what seems to work over and over again? Political talk.
Right-wing political talk.
If you have a goddamn political show, you can get 200 affiliates like that.
How many, seriously, right-wing political talk shows would be in existence today?
Really?
I mean, you know,
hundreds.
I mean, it's amazing.
Hundreds
of them.
It's
truly amazing.
And it's not because these guys are popular, and it's not sour grapes on our part. It's a fact. It's because radio has researched itself to the point to say, you know what's safe? What's safe right now is Republican right-wing talk, kind of like Rush Limbaugh.
That's it. And if you can't get Rush Limbaugh, you get the Rush Limbaugh knockoff.
Then you get Sean Hannity.
And there are zillions of them. Right?
You know,
that's the way that works.
And if you can't get Sean Hannity, you get Rusty Humphries. And if you can't get him, you get Glenn Beck. I mean, there's thousands of these tools. And like that guy Glenn Beck is a perfect example. He's just like Rush Limbaugh. I knew Glenn Beck back in Tampa Bay when he played records, just like Rush Limbaugh played
records. Rush Limbaugh was a DJ. A lot of people don't know that.
These are both guys.
Which is they came up with an act.
Right.
Bingo. Correct, Mike.
Absolutely.
That's it.
I mean, and that's the act. That's why it's one note. That's why you'll never hear another note played.
Right. That's why radio sucks. I mean, I'm glad you're listening to our show today, everybody.
Thank you.
But generally speaking, radio blows. And this guy, Mark Fisher, really has his finger on what's wrong with radio. They should send that book to every general manager in America.
Amen.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, yeah, I couldn't agree more that radio is just, I mean, that's why I listen to talk radio almost exclusively now. But one thing I was thinking that wouldn't it be nice to have a show like the Ed Sullivan Show or the Steve Allen Show where you have groups come on that maybe nobody's heard of, and instead of judging them and voting on them, just listening to them and hearing what they have and, you know, get them off. You like them, bring them back on.
And again, here's the thing. You've got 300 cable channels.
Right.
You would think there would be a channel for that.
Yeah.
And if you take it down to the world of radio, like in D.C., what are there, 40 stations here?
That's plenty.
There have got to be, of the 40 stations, 20 of them playing the same stupid records.
Well, you look at the success of a show like American Idol. American Idol is really, in its essence, it is a duplication of an ancient show that I never even saw because I was too young, the Ted Mack Amateur Hour.
Sure,
it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Things don't change that dramatically,
but
people's tastes are, I think you got to give people a lot more credit for having open minds when it comes to their entertainment.
Excuse me.
And furthermore, Ted Mack was a ripoff of a show 20 years before that.
Right,
I mean,
right,
nothing
right.
has changed nothing. In 100 years.
All right, one thing before a break. Let's hear a little of Rush Limbaugh back when he played the records in Pittsburgh.
Good.
Here is Jeff Christie.
3 and 14K on the award-winning Jeff Christie Rock and Roll Radio Show with fun and frolic for all. Some of you, no doubt, still wondering what award I have won. I'll tell you, none other than the Marconi Award for excellence in broadcasting.
See, I mean, I'll give him a little bit of credit, as I always have. He's a talented showman. He's got great personality, great stage presence. You can hear what he's doing on the radio now. 25 years ago, 30 years ago, it's just shtick, and because he's the one guy that made it stick to the wall, stupid lemmings in radio go, Rush Limbaugh's good. Put politics on. That's good. That's good. Let's play the Doors. That's great. Let's get people and feed them pizza. I like Love Me Two Times. I like Touch Me. Well, let's give someone a brownie and see what they think.
This is a good brownie. I like The End. Thank you, man. What do you mean I got to leave?
Wrong brownies.
And, what do you mean I got to leave?
Maybe if they gave better brownies, Buzz, we'd get better musical choices.
Amen to that. Because
of those songs that you just heard, The End is the one that you would never hear on the radio.
It should.
And that's the best one, isn't
it? It is the best one.
Right.
I love
it
The
really
End.
Is.
I love The End.
This is The End.
Amen. I watched Apocalypse Now Redux.
Yes!
You know, and that's incidentally the only Apocalypse Now. If you have the time, I sincerely recommend you watch
Mike,
it.
Who doesn't have 4 hours for that?
four hours.
Really.
But there's one reason those Playboy bunnies.
Oh my God, that's great. Is that good?
That is good.
We got a break. We'll be right back, friends.
This is the Don and Mike Show.